thank God football was back last night.
Yeah, and so I was telling you before the show, I had like a water issue last night, and I just thought the irony attached to it all is that, you know, I live for these games.
Yeah.
This is all I care about in life is just watching sports on television. It's really like my favorite thing. Yeah, I care about a couple other things.
Okay, I was going to say,
it's really what I care about a lot, and I've waited so long. We've all waited so long, and I'm right at kickoff. I had a big issue with the water in my house, and so what was interesting then, and so I'm taking care of all that, and I have a couple threads of buddies that are just, you know, like texting about the game and going back and forth about the game, and they're losing their minds over Spitgate and the spitting issue that we'll get to a little bit later on.
The taunting penalty. We had a lightning delay.
Oh, the lightning delay was the worst timing. A 45-minute delay.
Yeah, but you can't complain about
already,
it because you don't want it to play in lightning because that could be life-threatening.
Yeah, obviously. But, like, the game then restarted at 11:30 at night, Nick.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I stay up late, and I stayed up until the end of this one, but it was like the very first game's going to go past midnight? That's a tough ask for a lot of people.
Okay. It'd be worse the later in season it happens. The first game, yeah, you're tired today, but it's the first game. You can get through that. It's just a Friday thing. The real B is if it happens Sunday or Monday, and it's like November.
Monday night ones are the worst.
Yeah, they really are. I mean,
Monday night football games in general always go to about 11:30.
Now that I'm officially old, Monday night football is just a real pain in the ass. I mean, just... Papa's got to get a sleep, okay, guys? I'm a different man when I'm on like 5 hours of sleep.
I know you. There's no chance you were able to make it through that the weather delay. There's no way.
No, of course not. But what did I do?
My stupid self, I'm like, I'm going
to
make it.
I woke up this morning at 5:30 to get Olivia up, and for the 45 minutes she was getting ready. Did I watch the rest of that game? You're darn tootin' I did.
Which is, you have a skill that I don't have. I have to have a live event live. I am very my father-in-law is great at it. He'll tape a whole game and then just watch it 3 hours after the fact. I'm awful at that.
You know, the only place that skill doesn't translate to is Cleveland sports. I can watch Thursday Night Football. Yep, put it out there. That's fine. I don't need to see it live. Or I don't need to see all of it live. I'll watch the tape, as it were. But if it's Browns games, and this has actually caused friction early in my marriage because Vanessa she's like, you got, you know, TiVo it at the time.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a simple
no,
day.
There's no such thing as TiVo for a Browns game.
I'm like, no.
No, that's the answer, no.
There were other words in there, but no was the starting point of our conversation.
Yeah, you met Vanessa early on in life. The beautiful thing about it when I met Elise was that it was already...
You were settled?
Well, the assumption was already there that Sundays are for Browns football, and it's for football all day long. Like, she knew that when she met me, and that was not going to change.
Yeah, Vanessa was like, Nick, you're a part-time production assistant. Why do you need to watch the Browns?
And you're trying to tell this is going to pay off one day.
Because what if they pull me on air one day? What if they need the analysis of a guy who never played football in college and is very portly and out of shape?
The amount of times I had like 75 takes all ready to go just in case that one time they'd call you and be like, hey, we need you and you have to be locked and loaded. So I'd always stay ready.
You got to keep them in the chamber. I've said that for a very long time here. Now, we got to get to the business of the moment. You are free to call in today. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We want to hear your Browns predictions. That can be your Browns season prediction. That can be your prediction for Sunday. That can be bold predictions on players. The phone lines are open all day long because this is a celebration of Browns football, even if you don't think there's going to be much to celebrate for. And I will tell you, I think it was Wednesday, start of the show, you and I haggled over whether it was more likely that the Browns got blown out on Sunday or more likely that they won. And since then, my excitement for this game has continued to grow by leaps and bounds. Yeah. I'm ready to kick the damn game off right now, right here today.
Yeah, and I'm trying to contain my excitement because not only do we have this show, I also have the pregame show with Coach Riz as well. So it's like 8 hours of talking about this game. But I feel like on Wednesday and Thursday, we got to the meat of it all.
I think okay.
There's still some meat left, obviously.
So I think where we are today, I think it's pretty apparent where I think you think this game is going to go.
Yeah, I think so.
I think mine's probably more maybe gray area because
I don't believe that to be true at all.
Why? Do you think the Browns are going to win this game?
Yes, I do. Tell me otherwise.
I don't know.
The impression I have from our conversations is that you think it's a Browns win.
I'll tell you this. I think it's a pick 'em. I think it's going to be a very close game. And my big concerns as of right now One, I think the taunting penalties, after what I've seen in the preseason, the Browns are a team that is going to get targeted for taunting because of the way they like to celebrate, and I refuse to believe they actually have the wherewithal to tamp it down. I don't think the Bengals are going to have the same problem. I think we're going to get at least two taunting penalties, and in a game where the margins are this slim, I do not love that.
Yeah.
So I would take the Browns to the points. Anything more than that,
okay,
I just am not comfortable with.
Okay. I listen, the impression I was getting.
Not a blowout.
Because you did call for, like, it's been weeks on end you've been calling the Browns in this game.
Yes.
And
well,
so,
no, I'm saying that I think they have a better chance than other people do.
Okay. All right. I mean,
which is soft today.
Fine. Yeah, it's very soft.
But I've been saying it for 3 weeks.
Well, it's only soft because everyone else has now gone really hard in the paint. Like, did you go back and listen to the interview? I mean, you're here, obviously. But the one we did with Joe Thomas?
Yeah, he's expecting a full on.
Maybe because his phone was cutting in and out so much, but it didn't hit me at the time the way after when I went back and listened to it later on. I'm like, oh, wow. He didn't just guarantee a Browns win. He was talking about the Browns running roughshod over the Bengals.
I mean, he
expects. As if the Bengals were like a peewee team.
He expected the Browns to treat the Bengals the way Joe treats that Wagyu beef on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Just murders
them. Like, it's butchering time.
It just murders them.
That's what he. And now that's a little too rich for my blood.
What, the murder part?
Yeah, I would. Well, okay, when you say it like that, I prefer the B word.
I mean, I would imagine
word.
He probably enjoys parts of it. And
I don't think anyone enjoys the M part of the B word.
He doesn't look at his cows as just cash cows.
No, he's
They're
not.
Literal cash cows.
He's not a sociopath.
He sees them as dollar signs.
He doesn't maniacally laugh and go, "It's your time there,
that's
heifer."
That's the part I could never be a farmer or anyone like that. Solely
for
because,
that one part.
Well, there's a lot of parts. But what would really stand out is the idea that I would like get close to the animal, and then I'd probably name the animal, and I would probably be like, "Oh yeah, this is my cow Bart. I love Bart." And then all of a sudden I'd have to slaughter Bart.
There's 150
that would be brutal.
Million reasons why you would never be able to be a farmer.
Yes.
And
that one might be like
now,
the top for me.
Now, the toughest for me is that part. Because I am a softy for animals. But yeah, bye-bye, Bambi. All right? It's been fun. Papa's got
to like
eat.
They build this relationship. They,
no,
they
don't
you know
build
what
a
I mean?
Relationship.
I mean,
you just spend time around them.
I have to stare that cow in the face.
Well, not for long.
But for long enough to then have just, to be like,
just,
all right.
Just
off
close
the,
your
off
eyes.
To the slaughterhouse.
And look away.
A literal cash just, cow.
You want
a shotgun?
Well, yeah, because bow. That's how you get them.
You can pretend you're doing deer hunter.
Yeah.
And it's just
I mean, I don't want to break down. I've actually seen this happen. I've actually butchered cows. I don't want to break down how it goes down. You just look away.
I always thought it was
just
like
don't,
in
just don't. No, no, you know. No, what is it? Vinegar strokes.
And
you can't look each other right in the eyes.
Old Country, or New Country for Old Men, that movie? Oh, I butchered that name. Say it with me. Say, help me out. Help me out.
No Country for Old Men.
Old Country for New Men?
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. There's no country
new
for them.
New Country.
I thought they came into some land. I'm like, do we find...
what's this? It's a new country, but it's only for old men.
It's actually Magellan's life story. It's him finding new places to inhabit as being an old man.
Yeah, sorry, people living there. We are going to evict you.
But they do that scene where he just...
That's for old men. It's okay.
Just knocks off the cow, and that's it, and it's over. Just
by the way,
quick
New Country for Old Men is just what we should call Florida. It really is.
That's a very old country at this point.
Yeah. Well, now, 216-474-0092. This has gone off the rails. This is not dignified.
They got us out and about on a Friday. The promotions teams look disgusted at
us
already.
That's true. Well, that's fair. And that should be the preset.
If they're surprised, this is how this went down. Eh?
Yeah. I mean, we went from butchering to old men to land grabs. There's a lot we covered here.
Yeah.
But we've got a loaded show today. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We're going to talk a little bit about the game that was played last night, the Eagles. They got a win, but it was a close one. Jason Pinkston, somebody called that, by the way. I think it was Nick Wilson. Jason Pinkston joins us at 3:20. James Rapine, Bengals on SI, friend of the show, joins us at 4. Mike Golick Sr. at 5:20. Remember him. And then Daryl joins us at 6 o'clock as well. Along the way, we will choose our division winners in the NFL. Along the way, we will continue to break down Browns, Bengals, Week 1. And here's where we're going to start. How much credit do the Browns get for a win on Sunday and Joe Flacco's big moment coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? I was a little incensed, all right? I'm already dealing with Truth Social to my left. No, no, sorry.
Jeez. Truth Social.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, you've been watching a little bit too much of a news channel.
I didn't know. I think the Truth Finder? No? No? Well, which one is it? Is
For
it?
As many times you said it yesterday, I'm shocked you don't remember.
That
it.
Was yesterday.
We are the station's truth broker. That's what we
truth
are.
Truth broker.
Broker.
There we
in
go.
The truth.
You broker in truth. So, yeah, I've already got you there. And Jake today in our pre-show pitched the idea of like, well, how much credit are the Browns really going to get? Because, you know, the Bengals have week one struggles because people are now expecting the Browns to win. I'm like, that's not how this goes.
It's not how this goes.
If you are a 5.5-point dog, I will give you your flowers on Monday if you win. It doesn't matter if I think that week one is going to lead to the next 17 weeks of glory. That's not what this is about. If you at home are a 5.5-point dog, and all anyone can say is that the Bengals are going to have fun on Sunday because this is their Super Bowl, then I will give you your flowers and then some.
For sure.
I'll actually feel better winning than if you were the favorite at home in this game.
And based off of how hard I've gone with the idea that Joe Burrow versus even in this prime Joe Flacco, nonetheless a 40-year-old Joe Flacco, not the mismatch the Browns want, I have to give even more credit, I would imagine.
Well, and like,
I'll be very impressed if they get the job
have
done.
Have we mentioned that Kevin Stefanski is September Stefanski? Have we talked about how he's had some good starts to the season previously?
Yeah, he's had some good starts to the season. He's also had – we've had enough sample size of him having some wonky starts too.
Well, no, if it's October, November, December, we'll see. But September – that's where Kevy cooks.
I'm thinking about that Ravens game a few years ago. I'm thinking about the Dallas game last year.
That was 2 years ago, and that was last year. What about the other times that support my argument?
Yeah, exactly. Now, we have enough evidence that Stefanski's basically a mixed bag. Zach Taylor, not a mixed bag, though. Zach Taylor is just trash when it comes to the first 2 weeks of the season historically.
He's
1-11 in the first 2 weeks of the season.
All I've heard is 1-11. I was like, he's only been the head coach for like 6 seasons. And then I heard somebody go, in the first 2 weeks, and I'm like, I feel less dumb now.
Yeah. Well, did you feel more dumb then?
Nope.
You feel less dumb after that?
Not beating those charges.
I feel more dumb. Okay. No. But the point is, you get a lot of credit. The Browns get a bunch of credit if they get a win in this one. But I'd be shocked if anybody was trying to take that away from them. It's just, it's not changing the long season expectations.
No, it's not. But, when we start getting to, we've talked both about, Joe Flacco's math problem. About the second you get a loss, it's going to start feeling like there's going to build that pressure of Dylan Gabriel. Like, honestly, if they were to lose and Joe throws two picks on Sunday, I'm expecting somebody to call for Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders on Monday.
I'm expecting some Shedeur Sanders calls. I don't know that people are going to be that, like, hey, let's get Dylan up here.
I think there are more Gabriel
unless they're just being
Gabriel
rational
guys.
And just understanding that the only way to get to Shedeur is through Gabriel, so we have to do the call-up Gabriel thing.
I think you're underestimating how many people like Dylan Gabriel because his name isn't Shedeur Sanders.
Maybe I am.
His name is Anthony Lima. He hosts from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And I want to meet those people. I've met Lima. I want to shake his hand. Like, I want to find out why. Easy I want to find out why he's so interested in Dylan Gabriel.
By the way, I don't know that he is a Gabriel guy. I'm just guessing. He's gone too hard in the paint against Shedeur. I'm just Switzerland.
Huh.
So I've said some good things about Shedeur. I've said some bad things about Shedeur. But we remain neutral.
I don't know. I tend to think Lima is just – I think he thinks that for a fifth-round pick, it just became overblown. But there's some belief there from Lima with Shedeur.
But this is Joe Flacco's best chance to steal a win and stay ahead of this. I think this is the easiest defensive matchup you're going to get in the first 6 weeks of the season. I think your great hope, other than this one, is that the Steelers are old, like they show their age on defense, or
the Bengals.
No, I'm talking about like.
Oh, you mean after this and the actual season?
Maybe the Lions still take a minute to get right because
maybe,
they don't have anybody other than Aiden Hutchinson.
I said the Vikings yesterday. Maybe
that's
it's
a good
just the
defense,
idea.
So that's like a really good defense.
The Lions?
No, the Vikings.
The Vikings. Well, yeah, it was incredible last year. They led the league in takeaways last year on the defensive side of the ball. Now they lost a couple pieces of that, but JJ McCarthy might be just absolute booty cheeks. We just don't know.
Well, yeah, but I'm.
Like he's a mixed bag. He's a mystery.
I'm thinking more from the Joe side of things, which, in the first 6 weeks, this is the worst defense he's going to face.
So the team that had led the league in interceptions last year. I believe they had 33 when it was all said and done. Not a great recipe for a quarterback that throws a bunch of interceptions.
Yeah. Wait, who you're talking about the Vikings still?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But I'm specifically on Sunday. That's why, like, for me, and this is why it's so important. Like, not only is this best Joe Flacco's best chance to steal a win.
Yeah.
They got to let Joe cook. And I know that there's some ebbs and flows. There's some risk there. If you turn Joe Flacco into like Brian Hoyer at his peak, I don't think you're going to win.
No.
I think Joe's got to throw at least 30 times on yes. Sunday for you to win this game. And I will tell you, that's where my kernel of doubt comes on Sunday, because I think Kevin is so hell-bent on never turning the ball over that he's going to handcuff Joe.
If you don't get Joe this Sunday to really ball out, I'm going to worry whether you're ever going to see it again. Like, even last year, and we mentioned how his passer rating was actually pretty decent. It matched Aaron Rodgers' passer rating last year, oddly enough. But last year, he had losses to Jacksonville. He had losses to the Giants. He had games against really bad teams that he just did nothing against.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys today. Again, all show long, we want your season predictions. We want your predictions for Sunday. We want to hear your bold predictions for guys in this roster. And let's go with Josh in Wycliffe. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Oh, well, no country for him. No. Anyway, yeah, that was fun. Anyway, you guys, you know, Nick, you picked them 3-5. You know, I'm a 10-win guy. I'm not doom and gloom. I see a lot of upside in this team. Yeah, because, you know, just because Deshaun's gone and because, you know, our kicker's gone, thank God. You know, and, you know, that's at least one more win right there with the kicker. And then, you know, they didn't play hard, you know, for Deshaun. And we're still decent, you know, and they're going to really, you know, I think the defense is stout. But, you know, I guess it does depend on the health of the defensive backfield.
But the line is going to be, like it always is, top 10, you know. And, you know, with the linebackers now, you got you still got Jerome Baker, too, and that ain't bad. I don't know. I just wondered about you, though. I mean, if they do beat the Bengals, right, does that mean you change to a 4-6 prediction? I mean, or do you just stick at 3-5?
I don't think you get to, like, I don't think you get to evolve it as the season goes on, because then you could just always be right if you're just constantly changing your predictions throughout the season.
Or, like, if you said, like, three different predictions in the two weeks before.
That would be another way of doing it.
Yeah, we would say that's, like, if you maybe went from like or flip-flopping.
Yeah, if you went from, like, four wins to maybe, just an example, four wins to then maybe six wins. Yeah,
because
to
you
then,
talked to Jeff Garcia.
To then, like, eight wins this morning. Like, yeah. Just a random
like
example.
Like a hypothetical, certainly not a specific
Not
example.
A specific one at all.
We'd never do that.
If that was something that you did, then you can look back in like 5 months from now and be like, well, I said six wins. They finished with six wins.
Yeah, Josh, I will tell you, week 18, I'm going to tell you what their record's going to be.
Yeah, that's right. We will in week 18. Yeah. We'll be able to really stamp that one home within a one-game margin, by the way.
In fairness, Josh, it's a great question. 18. I think it's hack if you give away a season prediction before December. That's just me, all right? I'm just a purist when it comes to predictions there. But no, I mean, I think that's where we're getting ahead of ourselves. Like, I hate football axioms and I hate football cliches.
Oh, yeah, give me one here.
But this is this is the first game up, and this is the first test that you have to pass. And if you do that, well, then you have another opportunity. September is full of opportunities to prove us wrong. That's about as early as I'm going to go ahead and flip-flop at any point is at the end of September after you've gotten four games deep.
Exactly right.
We had a listener just come in. And there's
I wish I didn't laugh.
I think he left in shame.
He walked in
because there's a rally house
it's a
bowl
dog
of water.
Bowl. Yeah, and so it's nice. Dogs can come in and they get a little, you know, sip of water.
Or that's for Mac, too, if he wants it.
It's more
than
welcome,
really
Mac.
For whoever's thirsty.
They'll refill it.
Honest.
It's more than
no
fine.
There's no shame. And he just booted it.
And, well, he then fist-bumped us, and that was the sad part.
Yeah.
Because then he probably
he
did come in to say
away.
Hi, and then he was just too embarrassed. And now for the next, I don't know, 6 months when he turns on the radio, he'll be like, I got a chance to meet those guys, and all I did was kick over a water bowl in excitement.
The worst part is he was follically challenged, and there's so much more of you to see the shade of red you turn when you're embarrassed. But he was very nice.
He was really nice.
Really wonderful.
Just a brief interaction. He seemed
Mac,
really nice.
The part that I feel really bad about is the fact that he also then pulled on a push door. Immediately after, so
that's a tough one.
Well, he was already embarrassed.
That was a panic mode.
He was already very, very.
You know what? We're gonna strike that one from the record. Never happened. He pushed a push door. That's what I saw, at least. All right. After the first bit of humiliation, everything that happens after it never happened.
That's
in my
very
opinion.
Kind of you.
216-474-0092. Don and Jeremy, you guys stick right there. We'll get to you. Is this the best game for Joe Flacco to steal a win, and will they let Joe cook on Sunday? If they don't, it might be one of the things. Like, losing's not going to make me happy, but one of the things that might enrage me is not letting Joe Flacco cook. We've also got quick hits coming up in the next segment on 92.3 The Fan. We're going to be here all the way through the end of the show. And I would like to point out, because we had a couple calls I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading Daryl Ryder's tweet here. And I, as long as I'm gathering the right information, I might already have my first gripe of the football season.
We'll talk to Daryl at 6, by the way.
He can clarify it. But I'm not going to wait for that to scream. Shelby Harris, who is the team's NFLPA representative, was irate as reporters gathered around the podium to speak with rookie defensive tackle Mason Graham. Graham then walked away as Harris referred to the effort last year by the PA to have media conduct interviews outside the locker room. I would rather not hear about Shelby Harris, who was a non-factor last year. I don't know, seemingly, and if I'm wrong on this, we'll talk about it at 6 with Daryl.
Yeah.
Seemingly take it out on the media because his players association is a feckless beast. And this is not the first time that I've heard about this with the Browns locker room, although this would be the first time I've heard about Shelby doing it. How about you focus on winning the damn game? And listen, to me, making a mountain out of this molehill, all you're doing is intimidating a lot of really good people, a lot of really good professionals who are just trying to do their
damn
job.
They're just trying to do their job. That's
all. And so I got to be honest with you. I like Shelby as a player. I love his story, right? I can't remember if he was a late-round pick or undrafted guy, but he has gone from that to having a darn near 10-year NFL career. I like him as a football player, but this is absolutely asinine that the Friday before the first game of the season, what might be your best chance to win until Halloween, and you're intimidating media members because of your own futility as a players association. Just an absolute classless move. And again, if we get different clarification on this, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this absolutely pisses me off. Like, focus on the damn Bengals game, Shelby. Yeah. Not your little games.
It's odd. You're right. Focus on the Bengals game. Don't try to intimidate all sorts of different members of the media. But I got to find out from Daryl. I got to hear exactly what he did. Because a lot of the times in these type of situations, it's just Shelby was told, hey, this is what we're trying to get across. Seesaw it wasn't getting across. And then just tried to usher it in and be like, hey, Mason, we talked about this. Go do that instead.
Well, but even if they didn't tell you, deal with it. I mean,
once it's already done, it's already done. And I would already look at it like if you set up the podium inside the locker room, then deal with us next week.
Yeah, or go talk to your team. Go talk to the organization. Talk to your PR people. Don't be gruff. Don't have the kid walk away. Mason Graham, who
did Mason come back and do the interview?
So
or no?
I think he ended up going to the podium outside, you know, in the media room.
Okay, at least he was able to do it then.
But I mean, just
if he would have walked away and then not come back at all, that would have been bad.
And I want to thank Roberto Shenanigans, who reminded me. Shelby's also the guy that scolded Browns fans after 3% of the stadium cheered Deshaun Watson's injury last year.
Yeah, there was a few people that did that, but Shelby was one of them.
Yeah, but he was the least good one.
When Miles did it was like, okay, we got what's going on here.
Yeah, that was
when Shelby got on his high horse.
Yeah,
when, we're like, ooh.
I believe Shelby had half a sack going into that scolding. Matt keeps taking pictures, and it takes the longest time to take pictures.
No, so the problem
was
going
full Shelby Harris here.
You gave a really serious, impassioned whole everything, and then the moment that Matt got ready to take the photo, you then let me talk as you just gave this big old smile and thumbs up.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, it's a great picture of me. Yeah, I already have fat and ugly problems, Mac. Thank you for really driving it home for the good people. No, I'm kidding. You've done a fantastic. See, that's a great picture there. Look at that guy on the left.
I look pissed.
Yeah, you do.
I look pissed.
You do, because you're not having any of Shelby Harris's nonsense.
That's right.
Either.
Never will.
We're going to go ahead and kick the quick kick segment into the 340 spot, because we've got a lot of calls on this, talking predictions, talking the expectations. Now, I think they need to let Joe cook within reason. I don't need 41 passes on Sunday, but 35?
I'm curious 33? To know. Yeah, I'm curious to know what happens if he starts off a little rough and there are some interceptions in there. If Stefanski dials it back, or Stefanski says this is the game plan we came in with. We're gonna see what happens with Joe.
You know me. I've been on this idea that I think the plan has been to reel Joe in early in the season in an attempt to mitigate those turnovers.
This is his best opportunity right here.
There are just certain quarterbacks who it's like. I just think there's a ratio of big plays to turnover-worthy plays, and I'm comfortable with that, provided he's making the big plays. And his arm hadn't gone anywhere. There's a great – I cannot remember. I think it was to Isaiah Bond. It was a great video of just a beautiful soaring pass that he made to Isaiah Bond.
Yeah, no, his arm is going to work when he's like 50. I mean, that's how strong it is.
But like –
it's the other parts.
I understand that this is not just absolutely let Joe cook no matter what. But, man, if he throws less than 30 times on Sunday, I'd be honestly surprised. And I know, ball control, run the ball, play great defense. Yeah, you're still going to need to make completions through the air. And how you do that is you got to take a certain number of shots.
I mean, I'm very concerned about the idea that Joe Burrow is going to score a decent amount of points in this game. And so in order to keep up with Joe Burrow, you're going to have to let Joe try to cook.
216-474-0092. Is this the best game for Joe Flacco to steal a win? Let's go with Don in Cleveland. Don, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing today?
Hey,
doing
Don.
Very well, buddy. Welcome to the show. Happy the Browns are back time of year.
Sort of, I guess. I do think this is the best game to steal early on. Kevin Stefanski knows how to handle Joe Burrow and the Bengals to a certain degree. You got to remember the Bengals' offensive line still stinks, and our defensive line should be good, and we have the best defensive lineman in the league. So you would hope that would all work out. It typically kind of does. And I think you made a point earlier in the week or last week. We're probably not coming out flat. We're probably coming out pretty fired up and angry, at least on that side of the ball. So I do think this is the week that you could kind of see what would otherwise be considered an upset. You know, week one, I don't know if there's such a thing as an upset, but I actually think the Browns will win six games this year. I think the defense will be good enough most of the year, and they'll beat up on one or two teams because the NFL schedule never plays out like the NFL schedule should. So I think 6-11, and I think we start off 1-0 against the Bengals.
All right, Don, we appreciate you there. I mean, this does feel like if you I think I've said somewhere between 3 and 4 wins in the official thing for the station. We had a fun kind of everybody put their predictions in for like the total Odyssey stations.
I think I missed that memo.
I split the difference at 4.
Okay.
It was at the thing earlier today.
I didn't know you. Did you go to a thing earlier today? I didn't know.
Didn't know about the thing earlier.
What
today?
Was the thing earlier today?
The thing earlier
oh,
today.
Oh, no. I missed the conversation about the thing earlier today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was great.
I missed it completely.
That cookies. I was satiated.
Oh.
But no, I said 4 wins. But if you're going to get more than 4 wins, this kind of has to be one of them. If you're going to be a 5 or 6 win team, especially given the 5 games after it, this would be the one that you – I don't want to say steal because that's so insulting. It's week one. You get a win.
What Don gets to, I think, is why a lot of people have a lot of hope in this game, is that like the matchup does set up very well for the Browns, at least better than what some of the other matchups that you'll see in week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5. I mean, it's like if you're going to get after Joe Burrow, you're going to have to put some pressure on him, and you should be able to because this is not a very good Bengals offensive line.
Let's go with Jeremy in Fort Worth. Jeremy, welcome to the show. What are your predictions on Sunday and for the season with the Browns?
First of all, on the shrink from yesterday, I want to tell you guys you did a great job yesterday. I just wanted to see how you're feeling, if that's all right.
Much better. Much better. I'm feeling much
good.
Better today. Yeah, thank
Here's
you.
My
oh,
prediction.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, much, much calmer mood today.
Yep. He's still not guaranteeing a Bengals win.
No, not doing that. No. That would just be dumb of me. But I'm gonna take a little walk here in a second, too. Get outdoors. It's very nice.
I believe we're going to put some Enya on or maybe some Yanni and, you know, just have a hang.
It's really chill.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm proud of you guys. Listen, I was having dinner last night with Tim Couch and Trent Dilfer, and we were talking about Otto Graham's opinion on the season, and I think they're going undefeated. That's my take.
That was Len Dawson there.
Yeah, he had the Ouija board out. So anytime here's my prediction for real. Anytime that you have a problem, you have two problems. You have the actual problem, and then you have how you feel about it. Right. So our actual problems. It's the Browns. We don't know what to expect. I'm super excited. I think they're going to have a winning season. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be exciting. And I think that we're not giving enough credit to the quiet majority of the Browns fan base who's just really excited to see Joe Flacco playing football on Sunday. Healthy people and some new prospects. I mean, I think as far as the being in the trenches as a Browns fan, I think we have a lot to be thankful for on Sunday. And I predict a winning. I predict a winning season. And I predict Flacco is going to be. He's going to contest the case.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. That's a very a psychologist answer, by the way. When you got one problem, you got two problems. There's a problem and how you feel about it. And I was just like, let's pour some feelings out right now. It's funny.
It's like I was watching Shrinking all over again.
This is as excited as I've been for a team that I think is going to be a four-win team because I'm really excited to see what Mason Graham and Carson Schwesinger do.
Yeah, the rookies are going to be a lot of fun in general.
And not just that. I'm excited to see if Jerry Jeudy can take even another step forward. Now, that's a little bit on the quarterback, but I'm excited to see who's going to be here when you do potentially take that quarterback in 2026 and what you actually have to build around that.
There's just so much that's mysterious about this season. I just like finding out answers, and so that's what we're going to have. And I'm excited to see how much Joe still has left in the tank, because if he comes out firing in that final preseason game, and preseason games are meaningless, as we all know, but he did look competent. He did look like he could still sling it. And we watched him in practice. He looked like he can sling it.
Well, and I was texting with Colt McCoy. And
yeah.
He said,
what did Colt say?
Joe can still sling it. Don't sleep on Joe. And then
same thing that Brady Quinn told me.
Out of nowhere, Mike Pagel got in the business.
Classic Pagel.
He's like, you guys talking about the Browns with me without talking about Joe Flacco?
Did that move your enthusiasm for the season and your potential win total for
the season?
Every
time I talk to a former Browns quarterback, be it for a game, Doug Peterson, Fresh, as we call him.
Oh, it's nice he had time for you.
He did. I mean, he's not coaching anymore. But no, he sent a text in, whether it's a game, 17 games, 54 games. Once a former Browns quarterback gets a hold of me, it's like they're speaking the truth to me.
I mean, it's really the only way to find out whether or not you really feel how you feel about a season.
And if that former Browns quarterback happens to be on the Browns payroll,
is
even
that double,
better
double
for
points?
Me, because that guy would never lie. That guy would never have an agenda. Mike in Orlando,
jeez,
welcome to the show.
It's your friend.
I love Bernie.
Hey, good
love
Bernie. Guys, how are we doing today?
Hello.
Very good. You matter.
Good. Hey, I got two things I want to talk about. You were talking about VCR in a game or T-balling it, taping it, whatever. Watch it after the fact. The Navy. I spent 3 years out in the South Pacific.
Mike, you cut off.
Buddy. Real quick, can you give it to us again?
Yeah. Let me do this. When I was on the island of Guam in the South Pacific, games were 12 hours ahead. There was a 1-8.
All right, Mike, I'm
off.
So sorry.
We lost you after island of Guam.
Like, it's really hard to run you off the air after you talked about being on the island of Guam.
By the way, I was taking,
we thank you for your service.
Whatever exit ramp was not going to lead me to talking about the island of Guam is the one I was taking, by the way.
No. We want to thank you for your service while also condemning your cell service.
How many conversations do you think he has that starts with, when I was on the island of Guam?
If I went to Guam,
that's like every conversation.
If I was in Guam.
When I was on the island of Guam.
You would never not hear about Guam.
I saw horrible things.
Oh, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't lead with that. No. I'd talk about some of the fun stuff there, too.
Oh, yeah, because Guam's got a great nightlife.
Solid weather.
What are you doing in Guam?
Solid weather.
I don't even know if that's true. It seems really hot.
Okay, but sunshine?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The
yeah.
beach?
Yeah. He caught some rays.
When I went to the beach in Guam after killing a bunch of guys, it was so great.
It's an island. The whole thing is a beach.
Thank you for explaining how beaches work.
It seemed like you missed it. I wasn't sure.
Now, did Bernie Kosar tell you that one? I'm sorry. I'm just making sure here.
Hey, that's your guy right there.
That's my quarterback. But he's still not talking me off four wins there. 216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys and your predictions. I'm not even going to indulge that one. There was somebody coming at me about the Shelby Harris comment. Will the Browns let Joe Flacco cook on Sunday? And there was a second spitter on the grassy knoll. How much does it matter? In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.